Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Good evening. Welcome to Drag Time. I'm Max, or Dame Maxine, as some may know me. This is a bit of a tour of Bugs Bunny. Yes, we have some interesting shows we use and interesting music we use when doing drag. Well, tonight, my special guest is Polly Filler. Polly has been in a frock for over 17 years, and she moved to Melbourne 6 years ago. Her career highlights include hosting the New Year's Eve Countdown in Wellington, New Zealand's capital, a 3-year running program, countless awards for costume design, exhibiting at several art galleries, and here in Melbourne, she's been on the drag circuit for quite a while and performing some wonderful shows. We'll be talking a bit more about that. Welcome, Polly.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
Good to have you on the show. Now, my first question to you is looking at the journey of drag.
Yep.
Because we all know or we've seen drag performers in hotels, but I want our listeners to have a bit more of an understanding, a behind the scenes. So where and when did you acquire your drag name?
Well, that's a long, funny story, actually. I was looking through a book called What Not to Name Your Baby. This is a true book that exists. And the name Polyester popped out at me. And I thought, you know, I really love fabric and retro sort of, you know, things. And I thought it was a perfect drag name. So I called myself Polyester. And then one night, I was out and about, and someone had said, you know, that there's already a drag queen called Polyester. So I changed my name to something ridiculous. And anyway, someone I hadn't met before who had seen me on stage went, "Oh my God, Polly, I love your shows." And I sort of went, "Oh, thank you very much." And then, "Oh my God, I've got to be Polly. I've got to be, like, what? She's named me. What can I call myself? Polyvinyl chloride, polyamorous." And, you know, and also at the same time, my makeup was starting to fall off. So we raced back to a friend's nearby apartment, and I'm furiously powdering my face and putting, you know, more layers of lashes and glue and things on. And my friend of mine said, "Why do you even bother using foundation? I mean, you should look like you're plastering your face. You should just use flesh-coloured poly filler." And so that's where my name came from, the amount of makeup I used to wear. Yeah.
Well, I know we all have these names that we come by that sometimes they stick, sometimes they need acquiring and need understanding of. Mine, Dame Maxine Evergreen, the Yowie Queen, that came from my collection of lovely Yowies.
And what is a Yowie?
A Yowie was a chocolate coated toy.
Right, okay.
I think there's similar ones out there at the moment. I can't even think of the name of the one they have at the moment. But it's a chocolate coating for youngsters, and inside they get a toy.
Was that sort of, they look like little monsters?
Yes, like right. That. Well, the Yowies, though, they were all Australian animals.
Right.
And then they did worldwide animals, and then they went prehistoric animals. So I've got a collection of over 300 Yowies.
They released over 300 Yowies.
Yes.
And they're still...
And I stopped collecting when they got to the dinosaur ones.
Right.
So there's still a lot of Yowies out there.
So are they still covered in chocolate?
Oh, no. The chocolate and I have a good agreement.
you have an understanding, right?
Yes. Yep. I end up getting an ice cream container full of chocolate.
Oh, my God.
That's how much I bought the Yowies, because I'd love to try and get all the collection. So, yeah, my name, Dame Maxine Evergreen, the Yowie Queen.
The Yowie Queen.
Came for two parts. One, I was the love child or the country cousin of Dame Edna,
right,
who was the character I look like when I'm dressed up.
Because she's kind of got pink hair and you've got green hair.
She has that lovely pink or lilac hair, but I have the green hair. Mm. She comes from Moonee Ponds and I come from Muddy Ponds.
Right.
So hence the green hair. But yes, Dame Maxine did a lot of performances up in Queensland.
Mm-hmm.
Down here, I've done a couple of visits out, but I only do it as a hobby.
Mm.
Now, I understand you get paid for most of your performances.
Well, I hope so. No, I do charge for performances apart from charity because I always do charity work.
I think we all try and do some charity.
It's just kind of like, you know, pay it forward. Like that's what, you give back to the community, really.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, when you were performing, I remember somebody saying it's not really an amount to live on.
Oh, definitely not. I actually just recently returned to paid work. So I tried being a self-employed costume designer and drag performance artist. And, I was happy, but I was poor. So I sold my soul to corporate, Australia, and I'm back sort of in paid employment. But it also means that I can just enjoy drag. I'm not having to stress out about, how to make ends meet. And I've got more money than
that's
I can
it.
Spend on frocks.
Having it as a hobby instead of having it as the be-all and end-all of trying to pay your way, pay your rent, all the bills.
It is a bit of a struggle, yeah. And so I take my wig off to any of those girls out there who are managing to make a full-time living out of it because it is really hard.
Well, when you look at the drag world, there's a lot of different looks and a lot of different songs and things we hear.
Mm.
One of the songs that I love to play about the drag world is one that came from South Pacific, and it's from Dames. Here we are. Well, wasn't that appropriate?
That was hilarious.
Even though Dolly is not a lip-syncing drag queen, she does cabaret.
She's still a drag queen.
Yeah, she's a drag queen, but she does cabaret.
And it's funny she mentioned Carnival because I'm going to be performing at Carnival too.
Oh, fabulous.
So pop down and catch me. I'm at about 11:40 on the Joy FM community stage.
Oh, yes.
And then again at about 1:38, exactly.
Now, I'll pull you up for that because we're not allowed to say Joy FM. You can, but we can't. It's Joy
94.9.
Right. Yes, we're a community stage.
Okay, right.
So
my apologies.
We want people to know it's Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Yes. And you can listen to us. And my friends up in Queensland are listening to us now. Kathy, how are you? Good shout out to Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
She actually got Joy 94.9 on her smartphone.
Right.
Especially to be able to listen to us.
Right. So you can actually stream it live to your smartphone.
You can.
That's fantastic.
And you can listen to us on the computer, on the internet.
Oh, right. And the interwebby thingy.
Yes. And KJ is listening to us on the internet.
Wow, awesome. This is
a friend of mine from out in Heidelberg way.
Oh, I do love Heidelberg.
Isn't it lovely?
Heidelberg.
It has a very Austrian, German feel about it.
There's actually a secret gaggle of drag queens living out there. They keep to themselves, though.
I don't think they'd be doing too much fairy dust around the area.
No.
But anyway, now, question number two for you. Tonight we're looking at the art of lip syncing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what sort of lip syncing, what comes to mind when we say that word?
Lip syncing. Well, it can either be very good lip syncing or very bad lip syncing. Some people are fantastic at it, like, you actually forget that you're listening to an audio recording, really. And some performers, I find, just have a way of emoting and storytelling. And, sometimes it's the costume or the facial expressions or the movements that really sort of just heighten what they're doing to a different level. And some performers just look like they're chewing spaghetti. It's quite odd. It's kind of,
Well, I thought that was one of the tricks that drag queens had been taught, that if you don't put chewing gum in your mouth, you don't look like you're getting the words.
Or some of them, apples, oranges, pears, bananas, and that sort of thing. I think the thing is mainly you have to not only just know the words, you have to know the whole song back to front and inside and out. And the other thing is, if you don't know the words, you really shouldn't be up on stage lip syncing it,
Hallelujah, sister. That's one of my forte. One of my instructions I give to new queens in my Art of Entertainment. If you don't know the words, either learn how to use your hand to muffle the sound so that they can't see that you don't know the words, or just don't get up and sing. If you want to sing live, well, then go for it.
Make sure you know your words, because that could be awkward.
It can be, very much so. Now, I was looking up the good old Wikipedia, and it showed me a few famous lip syncers who got found out.
Right.
Well, Obama, the good old president.
That's right, he lip synced his speech.
His speech, his health speech.
Wow.
And his aides had to admit later on, when he made a fumble halfway through the speech, that yes, he was miming.
Wow.
Like, you'd think you'd know what you're talking about.
Exactly. You
know, especially if you're the president.
Not too hard to read it and say it at the same time.
But then there was another very, very famous Grammy Awards removal of an artist who got found out.
Who was that?
Milli Vanilli.
Of course.
Yes. And it's 22 years ago that they were stripped of their Grammy Award.
I think they were actually produced by the same guy that did Boney M, actually. Frank, I can't remember.
Yeah, Frank, yes.
German producer. And the funny thing with Boney M is, although Liz Mitchell sang live, the woman, I can't remember her name, she never sang live, although she did do the studio vocals with a lot of work. And the male in the group, actually never sang live. That was actually Frank, so he was lip-syncing the producer.
Okay.
Yeah, because the first Boney M track was Baby, Do You Want a Bump? And the producer produced it and then had to create a group to sort of front the sound, and that's how Boney M started, which I thought was fascinating.
Well, I read that he did the same thing with Milli Vanilli.
That's exactly
He had a
correct.
Whole group sing this song, and then the ones he was trying to market weren't marketable.
That's it.
And he found this lovely couple of guys, very sexy, very able to sell records, and they came on and started lip-syncing all these songs until so many remakes of the same song, they'd forgotten that to put on there that this song is not theirs.
Right.
Apparently the original records had that they weren't the original singers.
Right, okay.
But by the time it got remastered a few times, it just got put out as it was theirs.
And, of course, you got Britney Spears who, you know, well, I mean, which
she
I think
got
was
very upset in Perth over that.
Well, I think it was hilarious. You know, it was actually advertised that she would be lip-syncing. And then people bought tickets knowing that she was lip-syncing and then turned up and got upset that she was lip-syncing. It's like she never said that she wasn't lip-syncing the whole way through.
I think it would be very hard for performers, especially like Madonna, Lady Gaga, Britney, who get up and do a full dance routine as part of their show. And I know what it's like, you know, for me to do one number in drag on a stage. You get exhausted halfway through it if you're going to do a lot of hijinks and aerobics and all those sort of movements, which I have seen you do, lovely Polly, on the stage, even a cartwheel or two. Now, if you're going to do all that, by the time you try and put a song in there and sing live, you're out of breath.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's some, I mean, I think that Lady Gaga was dancing too hard and, you know, while singing and then had to go and have a chuck. She vomited on stage, but the vocal kept going. So I think it's not too common for a lot of pop stars to lip sync, you know, a number or two in concert, because I think it's pretty unrealistic to expect them to, you know, sing and dance and do costume changes and, you know,
yeah, come out and do a full performance, the whole package.
Well, that's exactly right.
When they can do a beautiful song rendition in the studio and get the notes that you'll want to hear in the studio, come out and do a dance performance that you want to see and just hear what they've already sung. It's their voice anyway.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, would anyone actually want to go to a concert and hear the artist not be able to hit the notes live?
No.
Because, I mean, you know, those recording sessions take days.
And that's part of the whole thing that came up just recently with the Les Mis movie.
Mm-hmm.
They were saying, why did they not lip sync the songs and then put the sound over top?
Ah, right.
But for one who has been in Les Mis myself, that was a concert. You know, that was a stage show. And there, you were polished singers. You had to know the song in and out. Whereas this is a movie. And as a movie, you're feeling their pain. You're feeling the angst in their singing.
Is it in 3D?
I didn't go to the 3D one. I'm not sure that I'd like to see some of them
blood splaying out all
coming
over
out all over the place. But yeah, so there are times and places where lip sync works and where it becomes part of what you expect.
That's exactly right.
And I think what got Million Vanilli troubled was the fact that the disc they had kept jumping.
Oh, dear.
Three times it kept jumping. And they just kept singing, not realising that it was jumping. Now, with modern technology, we can get away from that. Well, I'm going to hope that this disc that I'm going to put on now won't jump. It's one by Marsha Hines. And I want you to think about how you would perform this. It's called I'm Coming Out. Because I can see so many different ways that you could perform this.
Well, I can tell you, I tried to get a corset done up on Sunday night and I was coming out all over the place and not in a good way.
Now, you can contact us on email onair@joy.org.au or SMS 0427JOY949. Now, Polly, you've heard from someone on Facebook.
I do have to do a wee little shout-out to two gorgeous friends of mine, to Andrew Nielsen and Davey Dobson, who are getting married on the 4th of May. Oh, congratulations.
Oh, congratulations.
Gorgeous. Yes. And one of them is a drag queen. Miss Ophelia Titty, she's camp.
So she'll be wearing the frock?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, you never know.
I have to find out then. So, boys, congratulations. Lots of love to you both. Mwah.
Very, very much so. Now, what we want you to do is send in some of your questions for Drag Time. And if you want to contact us too, you can contact us on Drag Time on Facebook. Polly, our third question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Drag queens are under the spotlight tonight. Talking about lip sync, you have a new show coming up for midsummer.
I do indeed.
Kitch and Sink.
It's called Kitch in Sink or Kitchen Sink.
Now, give us a bit of a background for it, because I saw the ads in today's MCV. You made it on two pages.
Well, you know, I've got my legs spread, love. Kitchen Sink is, I just decided that I needed to produce a new theatre show. I'd produced about five of them, I think, in New Zealand, exploring different themes, and they were getting bigger and bigger, and I think the last one had, you know, AV productions, and we were filming things and projecting things, and we had about 25 costume changes and, you know, three backing dances, and it was just a two-act show, and it was just this epic monster. And I thought, I want to pair it back for the next one, and it's taken about 4 years to work on, sort of on and off, you know, just with different ideas.
Whoa, 4 years to put a show together.
I mean, obviously not working on it full time, but just kind of, you know, little ideas. And I wanted to pair it back and just sort of have a smaller show that I could tour around and travel with. And this time it's just me on stage, one costume, although I may squeeze in a costume change, haven't decided yet, just for the 70 minutes of the show.
70 minutes, mm-hmm. An hour and 10 minutes of one person doing drag on show.
Some people may say that 3 minutes of me is more than enough, but no, it is interesting because there's a different type of song you can perform in a theatre setting. You know, when you're performing in a bar or a hotel or a nightclub, you need to be really upbeat and do things that catch the audience. But in a theatre show, you need those sort of those, what I call like the down moments in the conversation. Because if the whole show is up and, you know, upbeat and crazy and mad, you actually wear out your audience. So you do need to have those down bit sort of moments. So, yeah.
Definitely, because in the nightclub scene or in the pub scene, if you go for too long, they're all over at the bar as soon as they get bored.
That's exactly right.
So, yeah. And performing for a crowd, a paying audience, would be a different experience as well.
It is different. I always say that, you know, when you're performing in a nightclub venue, generally you are going into their domain and you have 3 to 4 minutes to win your audience over. Whereas in a theatre show, the audience have knowingly, they're going, they know what they're going to see. They might not have 100% idea, but, you know, they know they're going to see a drag queen who's playing a housewife, so to speak, you know, for 70 minutes. And so they're there, and there's the kind of the expectations just that you are going to be performing, doing your thing. So you've kind of already half won them over. Because they've made that conscious decision to go to your show.
And that's the good part about performing. You know that you don't have to win them over to start with. They're already there. They already know about the show or about where they're going. Some husbands might not understand when they're dragged along by the wife. I've seen that happen. I went to a show by Carlotta, and it's interesting. Straight people will pay to go and see a drag show if it's at, you know, a big theatre. But, you know, to go to a nightclub, oh, I don't know, you know, we better not. But they'll pay and go see a show like that, whether they understand it or not. It's like, that was fabulous. Mm. Yeah? Fur and feathers and sequins all over the place.
I think some people find it's a bit safer going, you know, going and buying a seat in a theatre and sitting down rather than having to go in a nightclub. But I quite like the difference. And it definitely means you can deliver a different type of show. And I really don't think Melbourne's seen anything like this from me. I mean, I'm not saying that it's absolutely fantastic, like Lady Gaga's latest concert, but it's a real departure from what I've been doing so far.
Okay, because what I've seen you do for the last couple of months, because I've been coming... I term myself now as a drag hag. Instead of a fag hag, I'm a drag hag.
You're a fabulous supporter.
I go to watch the shows. So every Sunday night, they'll find me sitting at the bar watching the show. I don't get up and move. I don't go to the dance floor.
No, we all come to you.
Definitely. Of course. Yeah, when you get to my age, you're allowed to have your audience come to you. So... I'm going to see you on Thursday next week.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it.
Mm.
And it should be interesting because it's in the realm that I like, sinking, limp sinking and drag.
And kitchen sinking.
Oh, kitchen sink. Mm. Ah, that should be so interesting. Well, you've got a song that you've brought in. Would you like to tell us about it first?
Yep, absolutely. While researching the show, because the show is, it's a very retro-based show, you know, based around housewives of the 1950s and 60s. And, you know, the women were basically just trophies who stayed at home, looked pretty, had babies, raised the babies, did all the cooking, the cleaning, and the laundry. And they didn't sort of do much else. And so I really wanted to capture some of the songs and themes of that period. And one of the I love old time, you know, cabaret performers, and one of the performers I came across was Kay Thompson, who was a very good friend of Judy Garland's. Okay. And she worked at, I believe it was MGM, as the vocal coach. So she worked with Judy Garland a lot. And she's actually Liza Minnelli's godmother, who she passed away not too long ago, and didn't perform much in terms of movies because according to Liza, she didn't like making them. She found that the process was too long. But she did play the magazine editor based on Diana Vreeland and, of course, the musical Funny Face.
Yes, I remember seeing that.
So there isn't much really available from her, but she did do a fabulous nightclub act, which Liza recreated parts of. And this is an excerpt from that act, and it's called Bazazz.
Bazazz, and here we go, and... The artist's name is?
Is Kay Thompson.
Kay Thompson with Bazazz. And that was Bazazz. And what was the artist's name again?
It's Kay Thompson.
Kay Thompson. Mm. I could just see us doing that number. It's so beautiful. It's up there with New York, New York, and some of the other cabaret numbers.
It's a very big band, isn't it?
Lots, very.
Lots of pelvic thrust on the boom, boom.
Boom, ba-dum, boom. The minute you walked in the joint.
Boom, boom.
Ah, yes, that was a fabulous number. Now, we've got an email coming through from Kathy, my friend up in Rockhampton.
Oh, hi, Kathy.
Sorry, not Rockhampton. She was my friend when we were up in Rockhampton. She's still my friend, but she lives in Brisbane now.
Oh, she's moved.
She's moved,
in the world.
Yes. The whole family's moved to Brisbane. as you do, you know, sometimes you have to move for work and inspiration. But she was one of my friends who we used to have fun tricking each other up on. She'd come to the door and say, "Max, have you got this?" Because I used to do the props for theatre.
Right.
And she'd come in trying to think of something that I might not have. And she'd say, "Have you got a pair of stockings?" I thought, "Love, what colour?" And then, "Okay, have you got lipstick?" It's like, you're talking to a drag queen. "Love, I've got a bucket full of lipstick."
And you'll need it.
But yes, yeah, she helped me along sometimes with the things that you need for putting a show together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, looking forward to Midsummer.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to Midsummer.
Now,
not just because I'm doing a show in it, but Carnival, are you going?
Oh, definitely. I'll be there on Sunday. I'm getting there early to put the blanket down and find a nice little picnic spot.
And find your perch. I saw you with your perch last year. Yeah, some twinks wandered past them. Savaged.
I was very subdued.
I'm looking forward to Carnival because I'm performing. I'm doing a couple of excerpts.
Ah, excerpts, lovely.
Yeah.
So we'll be able to see you on the community stage or the main stage?
I'm on the community stage at 11:40 and then I'm appearing on the main stage at 1:38. So that's 1:30. Get there early.
On Drag Time, are we performing on?
That's exactly right. And then from about 3:40, I'll be hosting the bands that will close out the day. So
come along, everyone, to Midsummer Sunday down at Birramatta. How to pronounce it?
Birrarung Ma.
Or down behind Federation Square for
it's moved slightly round a bit. So it's where the giant sort of sculpture with the three legs and the two heads that looks like.
Oh, down there. Yes.
Yeah, it looks like me after a hard night out.
Down beside the river.
Absolutely. It's going to be fabulous.
Should be fabulous. So if you want to find anything about the gay community, I was listening to Joy earlier, and there's groups coming down from Bendigo, from Shepparton, from Ballarat.
That's fabulous.
So we are a community all around our state, and these people are coming into Melbourne to visit the gay community as well. So come on out and meet other members of the gay community.
I better brush my teeth and put on a good show.
Ah. Well, now, thinking of putting on a good show, what has been the journey? Question number four for my special guest, Polly Filler. And yes, you're on Drag Time on Joy 94.9. And question four, what has this journey been for you, getting a show together like this?
Well, it's been interesting. I was, let's see, we're in 2013, so 2012. So I decided that in sort of mid-2011, I really need to pull my finger out and just get something doing. So I registered it for doing a season at the 2012 New Zealand Fringe Festival, which is in February in Wellington, which is the capital of New Zealand where I'm from. And it just happened to coincide with the first drag theatre show that I ever performed. In the same venue, but in the same festival, but a decade ago. So this was like the 10th anniversary of Polly setting her foot on the professional stage, yeah.
Fabulous.
So I was kind of working on that on and off and while sort of doing my other job, and I actually had a nervous breakdown.
No.
Which was just stress-related, you know, taking on too much stuff. And that kind of became involved in this performance, so
okay.
It does sort of, you know, examine the character is at a certain point in her life and she's questioning how she got there, and you know, is she washed up, where does she go next, you know, like me, of course, I'm single, I haven't had a boyfriend like ever, and there's a man coming over. And you don't know whether it's the husband or is it the boyfriend. And, you know, so she's preparing a gorgeous meal and trying to be perfect and trying to get the house clean and just, you know, be that ideal sort of...
Oh, is there someone like that?
Trying to be that sort of ideal housewife. And I kind of draw a little bit of a parallel, I guess, to my own life, you know, trying to, I don't know, you know, live up to possible stereotype or an expectation that I'm probably not cut out to be in, maybe.
Sometimes we put ourselves up on a pedestal, and sometimes as a performer, people see us as the epitome of perfection.
And that's it. And, you know, I mean, drag is really an illusion, you know.
We give
the illusion of glamorous frocks and lots of money. And the fact of the matter is half of us are starving most of the time.
And a big mask.
That's exactly
right. We wear
exactly
a big
right.
mask.
Yeah. So I end up just throwing this show together and taking it to New Zealand and just really struggling to get it on stage. And anyway, we got it on stage and opening night, and it was a sellout, and I got a standing ovation.
Ah.
And that just really...
That would make you feel really good inside.
It really did. And, you know, just kind of that what I do really does entertain people, and, you know, it makes them... I don't know, if I can just sort of take people out of, you know, where they are or what they're doing for even just a few minutes... You know, of their life.
Now, I've got a question that's not on here, but mm-hmm. about getting on stage, those couple of seconds while you're waiting for the music to start.
Kick in, yeah.
What's the nerves like?
It's funny. I don't get nervous because I'm normally, you know, prepared and I like to just sort of ramp up and, you know, get ready and put it all on and then I'm ready to go on stage, bang. And if I have to wait... for more than 10 minutes to go on, that's when I start really kind of antsy because I start losing my edge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know...
We're ready. You said one song and we're on. What's the delay? What's going on?
Another song or there's mm-hmm. another 10 minutes and you're going, I'm ready to go. What's going on? Or, you know.
And that sometimes they call that drag time in out in the gay world where... They'll get on and perform in their own time, but sometimes it's out of our hands.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So many things go wrong outside of us waiting there.
Mm.
Yes, sometimes, you know, we have costume failures or we have lippy not right or the next act hasn't arrived. And yes, that's where drag time comes in. When you're on radio, drag time happens on the spot, on the time. And I know where you're performing at the moment. You have to start at 10 o'clock, at 11 o'clock and 12:15.
Otherwise, the music goes on without us.
Yes.
And we made that rule.
Exactly Which I think right. is good because then those like myself, drag hags, can come along and we know when to expect a show.
There you go.
Isn't it wonderful to have that? But yeah, so once you get out on the stage, does everything else go and you just fall into the role?
It does, and you know, I just really get into the moment. And I mean, with a show like this, you know, that's 70 minutes of it's like it's basically one 70 minute track.
OMG.
The whole thing is learnt off by heart.
Oh my gosh.
And if you asked me what any of the words were, I honestly couldn't tell you. But when I'm on stage and I'm, you know, and I'm dressed up and at the heels and the frock and the wig and the lashes.
Oh, lovely.
When that's all on and it just, the soundtrack goes, I just click off into this, I just feel like I sort of channel this other person, I guess.
That reminds me of an act I saw on Friday night. I thought it was a newbie, but apparently she's been around for a while, and she sang this number that had no repeats at all in the whole song. It was all children's numbers.
Right.
All about Sesame Street and Number 10 and what street we live in. And it was a fabulous, fabulous drag act. And she had that many words in the number. I thought, how on earth do you remember all the words that went for a good 2.5, nearly 3 minutes? And it was just so quick. But it was fabulous lip syncing.
Those are the tracks I love to do as a lip sync artist because I can't sing to save myself. I really love lip syncing spoken word because there's no music and you've got to learn it off by heart.
Whoa. That's a hard one because I was, in doing theatre, I was the director's nightmare because I could never remember the script. So I'd ad-lib. And the director's sitting there going, I did not write that. Mm. You know, the writer's sitting there and the director, and they're going, that's not in the script, but that's what I remember.
That's exactly right. You know, I was like, if that's the nearest thing that sounds like, yeah.
Of course.
You know, in theatre.
But sometimes we have to do the right thing. And if you're going to lip sync, well, you need to lip sync the words that the audience are going to listen to, because a lot of songs we use, they know the words as well.
That's exactly
right. Nothing worse than singing the wrong thing.
And they're singing along and they know it better than you do.
Very much so.
Speaking of singing, we've just got an SMS through from the gorgeous Drew, who's doing a show in Midsummer called Drew's Dirty Dozen. Very, very talented singer. Looking forward to seeing me on Sunday. I'll see you too, Mr. Drew.
Oh, thank you for sending us an SMS on air at joy.org.au. Now, we've got another song that I think every drag queen has done. I've seen you perform very similar to this one. I think it has been one, and I love the costuming for this one.
We're doing it currently, actually. Last show on Sunday.
You are. It's Shake... And you're on Drag Time with Polyfiller and Dame Maxine. And that was Marsha Hines with Shake Your Groove Thing. And one of your co-workers, co-performers with you, also does that number. And she'll be on our guest next week, Bumper Love.
That's right. Miss Love's coming in the studio. Fabulous.
And now back to our artist special recording. And it's number one.
Oh, that's right. Now, this is a very, very special track. My gorgeous sister, Ms. Ima Starr, who will be performing a couple of tracks from her upcoming album, My Heart's a Drummer. She's going to be performing at Midsummer Carnival, and this is her. This is a brand new debut single, and it's called Heal with Steel.
Yes, we have some interesting shows we use and interesting music we use when doing drag. Well, tonight, my special guest is Polyfiller.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.